America, Brocon Show with Anna DeBlantis, up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yes. And if you're interested in the Melania Trump jacket, the $39 Zara jacket that she was wearing that said, I don't care on the back, already sold out. Impossible to get. Spokesperson says, not intended as a message.
It's unbelievable.
It kind of is. She's going down to show compassion. You know, finally somebody decided, you know what we got to do here? Someone's got to show some heart. Let's do it. So the president yesterday, he said, you know, I don't like it. I don't like the images of it. I'm very rich, though.
Better apartment than yours,
yes,
okay?
Yeah, that's he did make that point. But so he does that. So he changes the rules of what they were going to do down there by executive order. And then Melania goes down to see it in a surprise trip to get there.
Well, she came out in opposition of her husband's policy pretty quickly, though. I mean, she did. I mean, she showed the empathy of like, look, I don't like what I'm seeing and stood against him. So I don't doubt that this was authentic, that she wanted to go there. Just but the optics of the jacket.
Don't wear a jacket in big, bold letters on the back that say, I don't care, do you?
Well, do you think the president, like, helped her put it on? Like, don't look at the back of this.
Let me answer honestly that question. I don't think he helped her put it on, no. I don't think.
Well, in this one case, he might have.
Maybe once every 2 weeks, as I think how that goes.
I really don't care, do you? In big letters.
Big letters.
big letters on the back of
the jacket. Even when they try, they screw up.
I know. Because the compassion thing, they just don't do well. And I think he gets that. You know what? I think he understands it. I believe that that's his whole point, is that I can't really do compassion, so just watch me here. I hate you all. And that's the way it's going to be. Unless you love me, then I love you, but then I hate you if you don't love me.
Uh-huh.
So it's that, and that's about it. That's about as compassionate as I can get.
That's such a strong statement. Like, there's not even, has she ever even worn anything with words on it? And then this is such a clear.
Of all the things,
right,
of all the times,
right,
of all the moments.
Exactly. The empathy she is showing.
Surprising she
children.
Wears jackets that are only $39 as well. That was also shocking.
Oh, you know what I like about that, though? That's very, was it Barbara Walters who put Banana Republic on the map? Remember on The View, she was like, I weigh over $14
is she the queen?
Sweaters. She's the queen,
she's the queen of broadcasting.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And then even Michelle Obama with her J. Crew, she put that on,
right?
She was already on the map, but she certainly made things more popular by wearing them. But anyway, this was just, I think the messaging is what struck a lot of people as being tone deaf because of the visit and what it was all about. And then there are optics involved in these things.
Yeah, there are.
There are. I mean, you're being photographed and you know it at a moment like this.
Yeah.
When you turn around to get back on your fancy plane and it says, I really don't care, do you?
I mean, she probably has a wardrobe that is, you know, like a closet larger than most apartments in this country, and she selects this jacket of everything she could have wore.
Yeah.
Let's go with this one.
To visit the children on the border that her husband just within hours had said they're no longer going to take into custody. Right?
Separated from their parents.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, but they are, but they're not. And now what's really weird today, and we're going to try to get some sort of an understanding of this. Lester Holt's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour, and maybe he can explain this to us. I hope, because I do not understand. Someone has told the military, the White House has told the Pentagon, mm-hmm, to prepare to take in 20,000 kids at military bases.
Hmm.
What does that mean? Where are the 20,000 kids coming from? Are they already here, or are we going to take more?
Are they anticipating more coming across the border?
What are they doing? What is that all about? And are we are we stopping this? And what are we doing with the kids that we already have? Are they reuniting them? Are they not? I mean, these are the questions I think a lot of people rightfully have, and it's, I don't know I don't know. And I wish I could tell you the answer. I don't know.
Well, the zero tolerance policy continues, the president said today. And so that would mean that every day you would think.
So the kids have to go to jail with the dad, essentially, right? Or the mom?
Detention centers, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I really don't care. I don't know if you do.
Do you?
Do you? I don't. As it turns out, Mrs. Trump, I don't. I don't really know. I prefer Ms. Knauss. I actually prefer that because I think she'll be taking that name back in, I would say, December of 2020. I think it would be about the time.
I mean, she could have even put Be Best on the back of that jacket.
Yeah!
Something.
I mean, didn't she wear stilettos last year in Houston when...
To the hurricane.
Yeah,
reviewing
but she changed.
The...
Yeah, but she changed.
She did change. Yeah. She looks very fashionable coming off the plane and then changed it to the flats.
Yeah. Let that slide.
Yeah, I mean, that's a...
Maybe this jacket's the only other forest green cargo.
See, that's the thing. She was going to land, and she was gonna. She met with the military first, and she was wearing that khaki green.
Is it possible she didn't know what was on the back? Is that possible?
It's possible, yes.
Maybe her staff just gave her a jacket.
It's
very possible.
I'm sorry.
One of them was wearing it?
I'm sorry. There was.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, you know?
There was a moment where she was doing, the, you know, they had her in an availability down there where she was interviewing the people working at this this place where the kids are being housed. And it looks like a school. It was not, and everybody seems, you know, earnest erstwhile, they were, you know, we really want to help the kids, and they come in. They're a little upset when they first get here, but then they're very happy. I'm not 100% sure I believe that about any kind of kids. I mean, every day, any daycare teacher will tell you there are kids that are never happy, no matter what they're doing there.
It's
right?
true, just pouty and
but they were putting on the best face they possibly could. And they had the, you know, listen, they were told by the White House make it look nice, and the First Lady's coming down there, so they did. So she's in there and she's interviewing them, and. You know, there were moments where she's like, and now the children are happy, yes? And it was like she was looking at like a 3x5 card and like trying to put it into her and you know, trying to put the whatever was down there, the questions that she had to be asked. And I feel badly for her because I honestly think that she kind of gets it.
I do. I think she has a heart too. I really do. And that's a tough position to be in, and it felt a little awkward. You're right. Those things always feel a little staged, don't they?
Yeah,
because they
always,
carefully select
always,
exactly
always,
where
yes.
you're going to go. It's a tiny sliver, and it's
right.
all everyone knows what's going on.
Regardless of the administration, that's totally true. That's fair. But she looked like, do I really have to be doing this? Like, I mean, this is, and she goes, I can't wait to see children now. And then, you know, they take her up to see, it was like, I don't know, has anybody seen Evita? It reminded me very much of Evita. All right, anyway.
So they didn't break out in song, though.
No,
they just...
I would have liked to have seen that, though. It would have been kind of, if it had turned into a musical. I don't know what to
It
do
did
with
take
any
a turn
this.
With the jacket on the at the end, but that's the end of that.
And really, how many people work at the White House?
A lot.
Which she walked
that
out
saw
of.
Her, right. That, right. They
well, the
said
spokeswoman
to
says there's no hidden message. No, it's very clear. No well, hidden message there.
Right. I mean, it's not like she's trying to send... They're trying to say that she's not trying to send a message, and I'm going to take them at their word for that.
Yeah.
It just is it's a dunderheaded move by somebody. And I don't want to say she's a dunderhead because she's pretty.
And the bottom line, it is a message. It's a message. Like, just do it. Like, it means something. I don't really know what it means. I thought maybe it was a cultural thing in, you know, a younger generation.
Yeah, Violetta, Kevin, doesn't
yeah,
mean anything.
I actually did my due diligence in the newsroom and I asked and no one knew.
I don't think really? She was giving any message off. I
no.
really don't. I think she grabbed a jacket that she thought she looked good in because it was the khaki green and it just fit in and she didn't realize what was on the back of it.
Okay. Very possible.
But there are people who buy clothes with messages on them and people who, I mean, I never buy anything that says anything. And that to me is a, you do that.
Madam President, can you walk up the stairs backwards?
Madam President should never have words on her clothes, ever.
She's not Madam President.
Madam First Lady.
First Lady.
First Lady.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Actually, it was funny because there was a cabinet meeting, and the president was in the cabinet meeting today, and he goes, my wife, our very beloved First Lady, is down at the border right now. It was like he wasn't sure? Like I sent my wife. She's down there. Wait, hold on. She's First Lady. It's kind of a moment.
It was.
All right, listen, we got other things to do here. Laura's Duarte is going to join us here in just a few moments to talk about the mayor of Gary is down at the border too, getting ideas. I don't know what is he doing. We're going to find out what the answer to that is, but we'll do that on the other side first. Why don't you tell us, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
And just to the mayor of Gary is a she.
She is down
yes.
there. What is she doing down there getting ideas?
You can discuss that later. Well, it just won't stop on this first day of summer.
All right. And here is Violetta.
Then there's this. Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, that is, and Joe Donlin. Played golf with Kevin and Ro once.
Yeah, we played golf with Joe Donlin, didn't we? Came out.
He's your new BFF, but he doesn't know that yet. WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10.
No big deal. No big deal. I keep texting him asking if we want to have, like, a dinner or lunch or drinks.
He's busy. He's got to do the 5, 6, 9, and 10.
Yeah, got back
time
to
for you guys.
He'll get back to me, though. Big deal. All right, Lourdes Duarte, you don't have to put up with this.
I did see this golfing video.
Impressive.
Wow. Yeah, it was something.
How you doing?
Yeah, could be
Wait,
better.
I'm hearing myself back, guys. I've got, like, mixed minus in my ear, so I'm going to...
Oh, we should have a doctor take a look at that. Hold on. Yeah. We'll get that. Just let us know when it's better. Just hold up your hand when it's better, and we'll watch you do that on the seal.
Let's talk about Joe Donlin until she's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what?
I think maybe it's better. No, it's still there. Okay, right. Let's try to get through it, maybe.
That's what we always say.
I would like to just say,
what we say
you
before
are not
every
the
show.
First woman ever to say that to me. All right, so let's try the...
let's start again, shall we?
Just go ahead and say whatever you got to say. What's coming up on the WGN-TV News?
Okay, I'm going to turn this down, and then I'm going to talk, okay? So don't ask me questions.
Okay.
I'll tell you what we're doing. So we are going to be running a story on the mayor of Gary, Karen Freeman Wilson, who is at the border, Tornillo, Texas, visiting some of these detention facilities. So one of them that she visited houses teenage boys, about 100 of them or so. And so she's there with a dozen other mayors touring that area, talking about immigration. And she basically came out and said that this has sickened her so much, sick to her stomach, as she called it. And she says that she really wants to work along with these mayors to build some comprehensive immigration reform. So you'll hear some of our other comments, what else is being done there at the border, as well as you were talking about First Lady Melania Trump visiting the border, some of those images and what's being talked about there. Also, we've got all this rain throughout the day, some flash flooding. We'll show you some of the images that we've been getting throughout the day and also the forecast for the coming day and few days, as well as I want to take a second to promote a story that I'm working on for Monday night. Mm-hmm. I just won't get a chance to see you guys tomorrow, but it's on those water tanks that you see throughout the city. They've for decades have dotted the Chicago skyline.
Yep.
Well, a lot of them now are coming down. At one point, we had thousands of them here in the city. We are now down to about 120 because it's so costly to maintain and restore and repair some of these tanks. So a lot of them are coming down. You may not see them anymore. And you remember that case back in 2013 in Lakeview where one of them came crashing down and actually injured some people. So we'll address some of those concerns. That story coming up tonight at 9:00. I'm going to pop my audio back up.
Are you hearing yourself?
I can hear you guys. Yeah.
You're still...
It's like a 1 second delay.
Yeah, I hate that. There's nothing
the
more annoying than that.
The hardest thing to do is concentrate when you hear here in your own voice. Oh, voice. Coming back
at
you. Now
it's going four times.
Sorry. How's that on sound?
Sound.
All right,
we'll let you go because I know that first of all, you got a job to do. That's the most important thing. And then secondly, it's almost impossible to have a conversation in a moment like this.
Tell Joe Donlin that Kevin and Ro say hi and that they want to get together soon.
That. Yeah. I will do that. Goodbye, bye.
Bye, Lourdes.
All right. We've got Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes right here on 720 WGN. Skilling is being brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems, and here he is. He is a bad, bad boy today. I just want to tell you that right now.
I was talking to John Williams earlier, and he said, "Are you talking to Roe today?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "We are going to have to be very, very careful." and I said, we'll have Anna there with the meds. And,
yes. ready to go.
Totally
a moment's
true.
Notice.
Yeah, I looked out here. I forgot to turn my microphone off a couple seconds ago, and I turned around. I looked out our window, and I'm like, oh, this day sucks.
It really is.
It really is. This is very ugly.
An ugly early March day in early June, isn't it? And, you know, this is a really strange weather system to have at this time of the year. This is a well-organized, what we call a synoptic scale or large-scale rain-producing system superimposed on a summer moisture field. And so, you know, the amounts of rain you crank out of this or something. This is the sixth time.
I am so glad you said this, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to your statistic
because
in a second.
Because you had mentioned that before. You got me thinking about that, and because you said, you know, this weather just seems odd. You know, it seems out of place.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right.
It because I have noticed that what we're dealing with here is... This is like an all day rain event.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't really get those in the summer in Chicago. Dotted rains. You know, you get it rains and it stops for a while.
Thunderstorms move through things like that. But
you'll
all
the rain crash down on you for about an hour. You know, or 2 hours at most.
And then cloudy maybe for the rest of the day, but not like this. You're so totally right. This is a November or March kind of weather event in Chicago.
And actually, you know, I mean, it's going overboard, but we were in some serious moisture trouble down south of us and heading into summer. And, you know, all you can think is, if we don't make up this moisture deficit, you have a devil of a time.
How are we doing now?
Summer. Yeah. Well, now we're...
Have you set any records?
This is the 28th wettest of the past 148 Junes. That just came in from my colleague here, Steve Kahn, because we were looking at this.
We still got a week to go.
Yeah, and
more than a week.
This will be the sixth rain event that's yielded more than 1.8 inches of rain. The sixth since April. And think about the past week. We've had flooding in Rockford a couple days ago, Monday evening. Then we had that flooding in Upper Michigan. It's just amazing the frequency with which this stuff's occurring. We've had only about 54% of our possible sun in what normally is the second sunniest month of the year, 65%.
Mm.
So, little surprise there.
Yeah, happy first full day of summer, folks, right?
Happy summer solstice, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not what you really look, you know, think in your mind.
This morning.
No, I'm, well, you know how often I get beside myself.
Yes.
So much so that I have to get a table for two everywhere I go. That is how often I am beside myself. But this is a situation where I was walking around. I had to make an appointment this morning, and you know, I'm running across the street, and I'm like, oh, it's, you know what? It's summer.
Yeah.
It won't be like this kind of these kinds of showers always move through.
Right.
Just this consistent, pounding sort of thing. So now the question really is this.
Yeah.
Do we climb out of this for the weekend?
I'll tell you what's going to happen. The rain will pick up again later tonight and into the morning hours tomorrow. Then it becomes more occasional, lighter. It tapers to sprinkles and patches of drizzle later tomorrow night and early Saturday. Then by Saturday afternoon, we're hoping to break some clouds. It's sometimes a devil to get these stratus to break when you get this kind of pattern in there. But by Sunday, we ought to be partly sunny, and Monday looks great. And there's still indications of heat building in here later next week and the following weekend. So it looks like we're going to develop another one of these hot domes again. So I guess if we look at it that way and think, well, this is a little respite from the heat and humidity, and it could be worse.
I know. I'm doing nothing but complaining, right? It's either too hot or it's too rainy.
Here's some good news, guys. Apparently on the longest day of the year, they say your dreams are the most meaningful on this night, and that they can even have premonitions in them. Because this is, your brain is very active the longest day of the year.
So now, to what do they attribute that, Anna?
They have scientists who took a look at this and it reveals that people who have your dreams tonight, they might be very meaningful, very vivid, and I'm not sure why it happens on the longest day of the year, but that is...
So wait, not last night's dream, right?
Really?
Uh-oh.
I'm just it's tonight's dream?
Well, the longest day of the year, is today.
Last night's dream was not cool.
we'll just cancel that one out. Tonight is the one you pay attention to, because, your intuition and the premonition and all those things going on in your brain, very much alive on this.
You know what's always fun is we take these abstract concepts and Violetta takes it, takes the rubber
practical,
the road with
very
Violetta,
practical.
You know?
Yeah, she brings it right down to earth.
That's
for us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like how is this affecting her at any given moment? And and then when she says how it's affecting her, it's sometimes it's alarming to all of us.
It's certainly revealing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
We learn a lot.
Yeah, I still will never forget when you guys went into those quiet tanks.
Six months ago.
And Violetta's response to that, you were not thrilled by that, Violetta.
I wanted to experience it properly. I just, I couldn't.
Yeah. Right. And Judy went in, and 10 minutes later, she slams the door and she's out. It's like, that's supposed to be the quiet room. It's quiet. Suckers.
God, I love those tanks. I could have stayed there for hours.
Oh, my God.
You did like it.
Let me just set this back up for those who didn't know this. So we went to one of these places where they put you in a sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of them. And you had choices of the size of tank in case you're like...
Mine was like a casket.
Yours was really creepy, Kevin.
Mine was gigantic. Mine was like a swimming pool. And it was like... wow. And I couldn't figure out why they wanted me in a swimming pool, but they did. And so we're there, and it's all on the same floor, and it's sort of limited, it's not a gigantic space, so these things are all next to each other. And the whole idea is you go in, and we're supposed to be there for 1 hour, yeah. Where you're just floating in this body temperature water,
and alone
totally dark,
thoughts.
And it's totally quiet, yeah. And the idea is that, you get inside your own head, and something happens. So, 5 minutes... Well, all right, maybe 7 minutes in, you kind of lose a little track of time. Uh-huh. You hear, hey, it's not working!
I couldn't relax. Mine's not on. Yeah.
When do we relax?
How do you work this? I actually had this, like, pink kind of glow-in-the-dark light that I could turn on. So I turned that on because I'm like, this darkness thing is creeping me out. And then you just float around, and I couldn't stop thinking.
It's not working!
Well, you know, Michael Jackson liked it. Didn't he do that?
No, he did the hyperbaric chamber.
Oh, okay.
Why was that? Maybe I like that.
Yeah, now that's where that's like a casket.
Oh.
And where you get in that, and it's like, it's super oxygenated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's supposed to be good for your...
Does it make you loopy?
I don't know. It makes... Well, made him loopy. I don't know. Or is that a pre-existing condition, which is no longer covered? I don't know.
Hyperbaric chambers have become more and more popular. They're very expensive, but some people say they just make them feel so good.
Wow. I wonder what the...
Do you have to be quiet during
that? Works.
I think you're over-oxygenated. I don't think that's good for you. I think you're supposed to only have a certain amount of...
oxygen.
Of... Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that there are people who will go and over oxygenate
mm-hmm.
because they're hungover or they're whatever the case may be. Oxygen is one of those
healing.
Antidotes, I suppose, to that. But I think it's not particularly good for
you. See athletes though using them.
Like, yeah.
They're very popular with athletes. There's one athlete that says he sleeps in one of them, like
wow.
An NFL player. I don't know.
You raise a good point. I've wanted to ask a doctor about that, and I always forget. But you do wonder if there are any really negative consequences mm-hmm. to that, because oxygen's readily available if you really want it. And,
right.
But it does seem like
you're not.
Might
I think
do
you're
something
supposed to
that's
do,
not
you're
good.
Not supposed to. Well, so my only experience with this was when I flew with the Thunderbirds, and you're in the fighter jet.
No big deal.
Joe Nadler and I flew with Thunderbirds. Anyway, they've got a little switch mm-hmm. where you're sitting, where you can turn your oxygen percentage up.
Oh,
and it's really important for the pilots who are flying long missions, and then they do these if they have these really tough. Multiple G turns.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's to get their oxygen back and to get their head going again, they're able to do that very quickly.
Well, that
well,
would
I
kind
just,
of...
I got so freaked out by the first maneuver that we did in the plane that I turned the thing all the way up for the whole time, just trying to calm myself down. Because it has this calming effect and you don't feel sick. And the
well, that's good.
The pilot told me, he's like, dude, you got to turn that back. He can hear it. In his headphones because it makes a noise, yeah. And he was
give
like,
"Give me more oxygen!"
Right, and he's like, "Dude, you got to turn that down because you're going to get really sick." And I'm like, "I am." And
you're
I'm
like, "Stop flipping the plane upside down!"
I'm already sick.
I was going to say, "Too late." Yeah. Thanks for telling me now.
Mm.
Well, did you get sick on that?
No, I didn't.
You
good
didn't.
For you.
I did not throw up.
Most people though.
Yeah.
I don't really.
I believe that's the case.
It's amazing. I remember when in
because they give you two. They give you two air sickness bags,
mm-hmm.
and you put them into your flight suit. Each leg has a band on it in the flight suit.
Well, that's
and then,
an incentive. You don't want to wear it if you do, right? If you throw up.
They said if you're going to throw up, take your glove. We're wearing gloves. Put your glove over the camera because there's a camera looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull the thing. They give you instructions. There's like a whole pre-flight briefing about what to do in every circumstance, mm-hmm. including when the guy says we're punching out, what to do not to get your head ripped off by the canopy of the aircraft.
Might want to repeat the instructions
right.
on that one.
Exactly.
Just to review.
And then they go through it with a flight surgeon. And there's literally a flight surgeon who sits down with you and they talk about your health and they talk about all these things you're going to experience up there and how you react to them when you're in that environment. And so like in the middle of it, I'm like, could you, you know what? Since I have you, I have this mole. Could you just kind of take a look? It was
don't
like,
get you in front of a doctor.
Yeah, it was a really bad idea. Anyway, the point is that when you're up in the middle of that, they teach you how to throw up so you don't kill yourself throwing up, which you could do. I mean, you could literally,
right.
And there's no
the projectiles
one can help you.
In that environment.
Right. Because they're not going to get you down to the ground in enough time to save you if that happens, right? Oh. And they can't get back. It's not like an airplane. It's, you know, you're strapped in. So,
you know, I wonder if they've really gotten sickness under control for astronauts, for instance.
I don't think they, well, I mean, I think they get used to it, but. When John Glenn went back into space, remember, after he was already a senator, and he was about to retire, and I think he was 60-something years old, and they put him back up in a couple days on the space shuttle, and he was terribly sick that entire time.
Interesting.
And it was, I think it's a very serious thing. When I landed in the plane with the Thunderbirds, the crew comes out, and they give you the signal of how many bags do they have to clean up, because they want you to hand the bag out first.
Yeah.
So is it one or two? Jeez. And I went zero, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Now that was really
good. What kind of anomaly are you?
I did get down on the ground. I did. I walked 10 paces away from the aircraft, and I went down on one knee.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. And they're like, all right. You know, beep. Next thing you know, there's, you know, flight surgeons and ambulances and my mother.
You know, I remember in meteorology class, I had a professor who was a hurricane hunter, and they said they always would have fun with media types who would come along for the ride, because they
for
bump
sure.
around and you can get pretty sick. So he said this one guy who was riding with them from a television station got terribly ill and, you know, threw up in an air sickness bag, and he tried to hide it by stuffing it down the drops-on tube, which is where they drop instruments out of the plane.
And it
flew back in his face, and they thought that was just
a riot, that's the best. Yeah. You know, there are pilots, if they don't like you, I did learn this before this, and they say this to you, you go, if they don't like you,
they can really
They'll make it a very long hour that you're up there.
I'm sure.
And so but if they like you, they'll make it really cool for you. So the whole time I'm like Violette, I'm trying to hand the guy $100. Yeah, like, hey,
take a C note, take care of me, right?
A little C note here for you, maybe some for a family. You got young kids? What do you got? How can I help you?
Yeah.
It's like that. But it turns out that didn't really work.
Those gizmos that they put the astronauts in for training that spin around? They're like,
centrifugal force things.
I you look at those things.
Guys are making me nauseous.
Yeah.
Just talking about it
does
affect
you. The luster of space travel.
She's not even listening to us, and she's nauseous. All right. Yeah, I know. It is an interest. It's a very hard thing, I think.
It is.
It is amazing the skill level and the shape that these folks are in, who do all of these kinds of things.
Physical and mental strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Really, they really are. All right, Tom, thanks for nothing today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right.
Well, guys, good to talk to you. Right.
Thanks, sir, Tom.
Thank you, sir. All right, Tom Skilling, brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
I really don't care, do you?
That's excellent. All right, Violetta, what do you have for the traffic? That music can mean only one thing.
Yes.
Lester Holt, the anchor of the NBC Nightly News, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline.
Hey.
Hi, Lester.
There you go. Just on cue. All right. Now, we got a number of things we have to talk about here.
Sure.
Coming up in the NBC Nightly News at 5:30 on NBC5. Now, have I said NBC enough? I think I have. Mm-hmm. All right, I've checked that out.
Actually, you owe me one more. But
yeah, okay. And Lester's from NBC. All right, here we go. You know what? One of the stories, I mean, we'll get to all the stuff that's happening at the border, and the First Lady's jacket is creating a controversy today. But the jacket she's wearing, we'll explain that if you're just getting to your radio. I think the thing that affects us all is that the Supreme Court ruled on local sales taxes being applied to online purchases. I didn't even realize that they were taking this up.
I didn't either.
What happened here?
Well, apparently, for a long time, the rule was you only had to pay sales tax if the item you're buying is from a company that did business in your state, so they had a brick-and-mortar store.
Right.
Otherwise, you didn't have to do it. Well, the court now has taken a look at that and says, no, if you're in a state, you should be paying sales tax. And like Amazon already collects sales tax no matter where they are. But a lot of smaller businesses don't, and they're saying, look, this could put us out of business. We don't have the lawyers and the accounting staff and that sort of thing. But, of course, the states have got their hands out saying, you know, we're leaving billions of dollars at the table. It should be coming our way. So I think it will exempt businesses. I think they do less than $100,000 a year. So, you know, really small mom and pop things. But others will be, states can now demand they need to turn over the tax revenue.
I know that local businesses have complained about this, the bricks and mortar types that don't have the online presence, because they say already it's difficult when you're paying the rent and all that comes along with that to compete with the online prices. But then when they don't have to collect sales tax, it's not a level playing field. So I think they're definitely going to be satisfied. I think one of the outcomes, though, is that as consumers, we'll pay more now when we shop online.
You're going to pay more, because it was always kind of sweet when you looked and you were buying online. There's no sales tax, and you know, a lot cheaper than going to another store. But we're going to lose that advantage now. And you're right; it's the price of a lot of things will go up.
Yeah.
I wonder this, though. You know, sometimes you're in another town and you buy something and they ship it to you, and then they don't charge you the sales tax on it,
right?
Because they're shipping it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't have a bricks and mortar,
but they might fall under that $100,000 rule if it's a smaller business.
But it's a big company.
If it's a small thing, yeah, but it's a big company, you'll have to pay it. I think they're going to be able to require them to pay it now.
Yeah, I like to go to Lily Pulitzer and buy,
sundress.
Like a sundress, mm-hmm. And then send that back.
A little flowery hat or something.
I don't think we have a Lily Pulitzer here.
No, we do, actually.
We do.
I'll show you what it is. Well, but we have the highest sales tax in the nation right now, 10.25% here.
What is it?
10.25% in Chicago, incorporating all of the sales tax from the county and the city.
Yeah.
So it will definitely be impacting us.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Bite. I mean, are you kidding? This is the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago specifically. If it weren't, and today it's gloomy and we have like a November kind of storm moving through Chicago and on the happiest day of the year, the summer solstice.
The summer solstice. Right.
And then you throw the taxes on top of it. All right, I'm out of here.
Oh, my goodness. The humanity.
Stop. You're staying here. It's a beautiful city, and you love it.
I got no place to go. All right. Now, Lester, the other thing I want to ask you about here is the First Lady was at the border, and she went to an HHS-run facility that takes kids from about 6 years old to 17, I think, right? Was that the age range, and she went to go see them?
Yeah, and some of the kids there are those that came across unaccompanied, but then you have, I think there were about a half dozen others who were among those who were separated from their parents. So she basically spent some time with the staff there trying to learn about, you know, what they do, what they offer these kids, how they're helping them. But, you know, she's talking about this, there's this, you know, we're seeing signs of massive confusion with federal agencies that are trying to carry out the president's policies, not sure how they're going to reunite these over 2,000 kids that have been separated from their parents. So that's burning in another pot, essentially.
Yeah. What is the, because the president today was at a cabinet meeting and he spoke to the press that was there in the room, and he said that there, of the 12,000 kids that have crossed the border, 10,000 of them were unaccompanied. And have we been able to confirm? Has anybody been able to confirm that number?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head the numbers, but there have been a lot of unaccompanied. We've seen that certainly even before this crackdown. But now they're being caught up in the same thing as the kids who are accompanied and being separated because they can't be housed with the adults. It's putting a strain on the system, and that's why they're looking at these tent outposts. But this reunification thing is going to be a big issue for them, trying to figure out, you know, link these families up.
Yeah, because I would imagine, and there's these databases. I mean, we just know, you know, one of the other problems we have here. There's a record keeping issue with these databases in law enforcement, and they're not. That's one of the things that the federal government's been trying to work on, and then states get all their undies in a bunch about it. Is trying to organize all of this stuff online so that you're able to see. Law enforcement would be a lot easier if you're able to see kind of what everybody's doing, or if they have a police record, or where they are, if they've been taken into custody, that sort of stuff. And this could be a big.
One of the things I learned, I was down at the border on Monday and spent some time with the Border Patrol. One of the things I learned is, you know, this is being referred to in terms of being a crisis. But the fact is there are huge parts of the border where they're not seeing this kind of movement. But for many reasons, you know, South Texas, that area around McAllen, is one of the most frequent crossings, and particularly for families. There's an easy point to get across the river. It was interesting, though, talking to the Border Patrol, they said the people virtually arrest themselves. They don't try to hide. They don't run when they see Border Patrol. They generally come right up to them, many imagining that they can make their formal request for asylum. But the fact is, if you, if you sneak across the river instead of going across the approved crossing point, then you are considered a criminal. And you know, they don't know that. A lot of them are dealing with smugglers who just point over there and say, go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you have this, Lester, you have this 20-day rule that the children are not allowed to be held in government detention facilities for more than 20 days, according to a prior Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they're really, the clock is ticking now, and in 20 days they're all going to have be in someone else's custody, foster parents or somewhere?
Yeah, I think the feeling is it's not necessarily a hard and fast 20 days, but it's around that, is what the court essentially said. So that puts a lot of pressure on this thing. Can they process these folks in less than 20 days, or do they still end up in a detention center? So that's why this thing has become so complicated. The president announced this this executive order yesterday, but left a lot of things unsaid or undealt with.
Right, and they're trying to interpret that, and they're trying.
Although,
to...
in fairness, he did acknowledge there could be some court challenges on that. Same issue.
Well, and he did say that he'd like to extend the 20 days.
Right.
And then there was another story that broke a couple of hours ago, and it seemed to have surfaced and then submerged again, which was that the Department of Defense has been told that they may have to take as many as 20,000 people onto bases to create housing for 20,000 folks that are being detained on military bases. I would imagine somewhere near the border, or maybe not. Maybe they're all over the country. But that's has NBC News been able to confirm that?
That, I think that's happening, but keep in mind that some of that, I think, happened during the Obama administration. This would not be the first time that they, and this came up about a week ago, if I recall. They were, HSS was looking at some facilities at a military base that they could house folks. So it's, when you're doing a zero, tolerance, you put a lot of pressure on the system and on yourself. And so they've got to find places, to process these people. They're now talking about using, military lawyers, JAGs, to come in and handle some of these criminal cases, misdemeanors, if you will. So it's putting a huge demand on the system, including the military.
Yeah, we live in interesting times.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
It's a mess right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, Lester Holt, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. You can see Lester
good
tonight.
Talking to you both.
Watch
you
me too. Work here, Lester. You can see Lester tonight on the NBC Nightly News at 5:30 on NBC 5 Chicago.
Well done.
Eight mentions. Awesome.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Lester. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Let's find out from Judy what's going on at the bottom of the hour.
A prime headache for Amazon.
And Violetta's got the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Let me just tell you something. It's very important. Is that I'm totally confused because Steve Dale was in a park and it was raining and I don't know why.
Well, as long as there are dogs around, he's happy. Doesn't matter what the weather for Steve.
And don't you now? Since you are a relatively new, although you had dogs when you were growing up, but now you're as an adult.
This is 8-month-old puppy.
Yeah, you have an 8-month-old puppy.
These days are tough when you're a dog owner.
Yeah,
right?
It's the worst, right?
I think it's actually worse than the snow and the cold because the puppy and the dog gets all coated when you go out and stuff like this.
And then it touches everything.
Oh, and then the puppies, they jump on you. It's just
Dog.
I love the dog. It's a good thing they're so cute.
Yeah, right. That's the only that's what keeps them alive.
So darn cute.
They're really cute, and then they grow up, and then you just fall in love with them because they become your best friend because they're like they kind of get their job as a dog to con you into believing that they're talking to you and they're really
with
their
eyes. Feed them.
Yeah, and then but they got the whole thing worked out. But I do love it in a moment like this where you're out there and it's raining. And you're like, just go. And you know, like all those tricks that you try, like hurry, or whatever, like a keyword to get
me going. I'm trying to train ours to go at potty when you say potty. And it's kind of working. I have to say, it kind of works because we praise her with that since she was, tiny little puppy. So,
okay.
But it doesn't work on days like this. Yeah, you kind of just give a lot of love and praise as soon as you say it.
Oh, I do treats. Totally.
Treats. Big bribes. The bigger the bribe, the better.
And we say potty, too, for our puppy.
And it works?
Puppy. Oh, yeah.
See, it kind of works. I'm surprised by that.
I have the smallest little dog. Are you kidding? It's so cute.
But it still sounds like that.
I love him more than my children.
Even though it's a small little dog since it's Judy's, it's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to teach it to bark out. No.
Okay,
he down, does do that.
Down. I know you're a teacup poodle, but please,
you know,
down.
He's like a half chihuahua, a half terrier. He's just...
Oh. No, stop it.
Okay, he is blonde, and he does kind of look like me, but whatever. Oh, whatever. It I've said too much.
Well, then I had it right the first time.
Yeah, don't worry. He's harmless until you get him mad.
Well, if people would stop pissing him off, it would be fine.
He's fine.
Why do they have to walk by our house?
It's our fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't even go on a bike past him because he hates that.
The bikes.
Yeah,
we'll do it.
All right, we'll do our best not to do that. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720
yes.
WGN. All right, now, I did say earlier that we were going to have two of the Smith folk in the studio with us to discuss the Walter E. Smith people who are having the sale of the century essentially happening right now at their stores, which I still can't quite get over, but we'll talk about that in a minute. They've come in and they've decided they're going to help us with some of the stuff around the station now that we are, you know, here at our brand new facility.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our offices set up, and I have no idea. Zero idea how they're ever going to save me from what I have just done in our office space.
It's kind of, like it just felt like someone threw up in there a little bit, I guess would be a really, you know, just bottom line way to look at it. There's so much going on.
Right. There's a mixing of media in
Absolutely.
There, I suppose, the best way to put it. So, all right. So we've got Katie and Maureen. They're both Smiths. I met you guys a couple of months ago, and between the two of you, you have 500 children. Is that correct?
499.
499. All right. I overcounted, I suppose.
What are the reunions like? Do you remember each other's names? It's one of those things.
A lot of crying, a lot of tears.
Yeah. How many, because in your lineage of your guys, first cousins, there are like with your kids.
There are 18. My parents have 18 grandkids already.
Oh my!
So far.
Wait, how many kids?
Oh, wait a second.
Not more for me. This is an announcement.
Wow.
Wow.
That's old school right there.
It is.
You know,
we came from a family of five, and I feel like we all liked growing up in big families. So.
So you're having them.
It rubbed off on us a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. It's very interesting. How many like second cousins are there? If there's 18, like all the kids from that lineage?
Well, there's a lot because our parents both come from big families.
Oh no!
So we have a lot of cousins, and some of them are a lot younger than we are. So my kids assume that some of my cousins are their cousins because they're closer in age to them than we are.
But the good news with that is that they're so young that they don't have kids of their own yet. So it's not like it's there's at least a little
a little break.
There's not like another 45 kids at these family reunions.
So if you guys decided to do a destination, like, you know, go to Mexico or something for a family reunion, you'd have to get a 747. Is that what you're saying, essentially?
We took a break from those.
A DC-10 might work. But,
We haven't been on one of those in a while.
Military college cargo planes.
relaxing.
A friend who's like this, he's got a bunch of kids and his brothers. He's got a bunch of brothers and they all have kids. And they like to go down to Florida every year as a family. And they literally, when Southwest sees them arrive, at Midway, they close the airport. They're like, that's it.
Like, there's too many of them.
It's a beautiful sunny day. They're like, I'm sorry, weather. We can't take you all.
It's grounded.
They get on a plane. It's like it's like a troop movement when they actually all get on the 737.
Being deployed.
Right. So let's just talk for a second here. Let's just talk about the Walter E. Smith. You guys, I've seen the commercials, obviously, and we've heard the commercials on the radio, but it's like a new generation with you, the daughters, the Smith daughters, right?
Yeah, we're the first of the fourth generation. So our great-grandfather started the business like 75 years ago.
Wow.
He saw a need arise when troops were coming home from World War II, and he knew they'd be getting married and starting families here in the Chicago area.
And getting the GI Bill.
Uh-huh. So he decided to open up an electronics and appliance and kitchenette store. And it's just kind of, the business has grown and evolved ever since then. So it's really special for us to continue that legacy. And we know that the name means a lot to people in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those, sure. like WGN. It's just people recognize it in the area. If you're from Chicago, you probably have heard of us. And that means a lot to us. It's an honor. It really is.
It's interesting. So your dad and his brothers, mm-hmm. you know, were like the face in the 90s and 2000s.
They did all those commercials that everyone remembers.
The wacky commercials. Uh-huh. There was always something wacky going on. There was always one of them acting a fool.
Yes.
And I just, you know.
And embarrassing us.
Very yeah. And you're yeah. like, oh, gosh, what is dad doing now? I can yeah. only right. imagine at school what that was like. I mean, yeah, they were fun, but they were like yeah. quirky no, and they cute. Were,
my husband's a traitor. And when we were like engaged, He works weird hours. In the middle of the night, one night, he turns the TV on and there's a picture, or there's a commercial with my dad's head on a cicada body. It was the summer of the cicadas.
I forgot about that one.
And it's like, there's my future father-in-law, like, and the TV's going.
Oh, gee.
Well, you know, you sunk the deal. It was good. It, yeah. They didn't run too far. It was good. Because it is, they were fairly, you know, fairly well known for that. And I think it's a nice... it's such a great moment here too, because you guys are all designers. That's the interesting thing about Walter Smith. I don't think a lot of people right. understand this. When you go into the store, there are professional designers that yes. help you. It's not just a salesperson trying mm-hmm. to sell you an ottoman.
Right.
There are actually people who will say, all right, well, I can help you kind of put everything together in your home too, right?
Oh yeah. We want to get in your home and see it and measure it and, figure out what pieces you want to keep, what you want to get rid of, and look at the rooms around it too. And, we really form a relationship with our clients. Like, I can't tell you how many clients have become friends of mine. And,
wow.
It's really just, you create a special bond with them. You know, when they welcome you into their home and trust you to make their home beautiful and comfortable and, kind of, you have to learn their personal taste too. And so you really have to learn them or get to know them.
All right. Now, what I want to do, Jeff, is Jeff, what happened to Jeff? Jeff walked away here.
He's around.
Just stepped out. I want Jeff to take one of you into the office, and then I want, it's like a hostage situation.
Oh, we've been inside
we've
the
seen,
office.
We've seen it.
You've seen
yeah.
it. You
oh, so you know.
It's a tchotchke explosion.
All right, so what's going to... Yeah.
Tchotchke explosion.
Yeah,
I like
it
that.
It is as though... That is correct.
There's a lot of chia more tornadic debris.
You know, are you making a political statement with all those chia pets?
we do have all of the... Well, we got all the political chia pets from 2016. We have a bunch of stuff in 2016 because we were out covering that all year.
We were trying to guess who's going to win.
Yeah, and so we put the chia pets in... they had the Trump and the Hillary and the Bernie chia pets. Mm-hmm. And Bernie was already out of it, but for some reason we kept him in it because his hair
so
grows
cute.
In funny on the chia pet.
So you're trying to see yeah. whose hair grew first and right. longest, and that might determine somehow who was going to win.
Yeah, and it worked.
It did work.
The
yeah.
chia thing worked for us. We were able to... Mm-hmm. We
predicted the outcome of the election, it turns out.
We did, actually, well, okay, 3 weeks before it, because and all based on our chia pets. Yeah, people right. thought it was some sort of prognostication skill. It was mm-hmm. not.
No.
It's because the Trump chia pet really got his... Or chia, right, Trump chia, because mm-hmm. you're not a pet unless you're a lamb. You know, it was good. It worked. It, you know, it told us exactly what was going to happen. So, yes. So, we have those. We got and a then, bunch of other things.
Yeah. There are you afraid that they might tell you to get rid of the Rokan oil painting?
Wait, that was what I was just with the fascinator?
Yeah, Ro wearing the fascinator, the oil painting.
I think it's a very
himself.
Regal painting.
I think there's
a home for that.
There would be somewhere else. To get rid of that. I don't know. The Art Institute isn't that far away.
Oh, I think it's very far away as it pertains to that particular piece of art. That is a...
the MCA?
Yeah. It is an oil painting representation of a picture that was taken during an event that we did a couple of years ago. And I think I'm wearing Violetta's hat.
Yeah, it's my hat during the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. And it is a... I do look like going to the royal wedding.
It looks better mm-hmm. on you than me, though.
It's a beautiful painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now get rid of it.
Now, you think that's got to go? I can imagine this happens all the time
sure.
when you go into homes. And like the guys are like, the couch has been with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I like the black leather couch. I've had it since my fraternity boy days.
The pink
it's
hat
great.
Brings out my eyes.
Well, we heard that the black leather or bonded leather chair and ottoman are important to you. Is that true?
Well,
memories.
They can go.
Yeah. Memories a little attached to it.
Yeah, a little. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got
to. Does it have to stay?
Does not have to stay.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, that gives us something. We were told another story. We said this was like Rose Cher. He brings it everywhere he goes. So
I take it actually with me to dinner. I put it in the back of my car and I take it and I have it, you know. It
rolls down Michigan Avenue
right.
in it sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ro, I will give you credit though, because we went into Wendy and Bill's office and then to Steve's office, and they barely have anything other than Bill's Moldorama collection.
Yes.
Proudly on display. I guess that had to come with. And
yes.
He wants a locked glass case for that. But You were really moved in. I mean, you guys just got here a couple days ago, right?
Yeah. I mean, I can't stand being in between places.
Yeah, you. That's very clear. Yeah. You really made that home.
Mm-hmm. I've made it. Yes.
What does your home look like?
It's quite a thing. If you think there are enough pictures of me in my office, wait till you get to my home. It's every 4 seconds. I mean, these guys have all been to my place. Every time you make a turn, there's another portrait of me.
Is there like a George Costanza like kind of tasteful? Nude pig.
Yes.
Right
yes.
above the fireplace. Yes. It's odd. Thought it was odd. But
a lot of fur.
That's where he does it. He wanted it there. You actually could go to his house as well, I think. That you both could be very useful.
Yeah. If you need a little help, just let us know. Yeah. I also spotted an end table in your office that had some veneering issues.
I'm not sure that's veneering issues. I believe that is from a dessert that was placed there in 2003. And I think that may be the issue. That I think we can
so for
do away
15
with
years you've been dealing with the veneering issues and
I have
living with it.
I yes.
Well, it's a nice plastic top that like really resembles wood nicely.
not 100%, but I would say that
you did a good job with the graining.
Well, I guess you know, Katie. The one thing I would say is that I have to like just sort of throw myself on your mercy here, and like whatever I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm going to say okay, because that's what all the guys do anyway. Mm-hmm. They go, all right, fine, because they lose every argument.
Okay, right? I just have one question.
Yes,
cheetah print or tiger stripes?
Oh, I'm much for cheetah print. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, gosh. What's going on?
Oh, God. All right, this is really going to be
something. Did you sit on the furry chair when you were in our store last month?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's about the same size as your little chair.
You think that would be the thing for me?
Yeah, I think that's a Rokan.
Although I will say that I felt like I had fur in my mouth for the rest of the day.
Okay, then we won't give you a furry chair.
Okay.
Can we put a mirror in somewhere?
Why do you want... What do you need a mirror for?
I don't know. Just it's nice to... Have them here.
It makes the office look bigger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you can look at yourself more.
Don't look. Yeah. That's right. Instead of pictures of myself, I will actually look at myself. Violetta, that's why God invented bathrooms for mirrors.
Well, that's why God invented radio, because it doesn't matter what you look like.
That's so totally
so
true.
So you don't really need a mirror.
That
you're
is
going
totally
on the radio.
True. All right. Maureen and Katie Smith are with us. Walter E. Smith, which they're having this amazing sale going on right now, which is you go online. Just go to smith.com first, and you download a $500 coupon. And then it just takes off from there. Then go into the store and use it. And it's wait till you see what else you get when you get in the store. All that. We'll be back. They're going to give us one last assessment.
Okay. The office.
Yes. And then they're going to slide a piece of paper over to me and say, this is what it's going to cost you. And I need you to pull out the coupon, and I'll do the coupon simultaneously. And then maybe we could split this and do this on two bills. Is that possible?
I don't think we allow coupon stacking.
No.
So. Yeah.
Damn it. All right. Let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming at the top of the hour. All right. We have two of the women of Smith in our studio with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter E. Smith is what I'm talking about here. Maureen and Katie, and you've seen them on the TV commercials. Mm-hmm.
You dream it, they build it, big deal.
Yep. And it's true. I was just talking about that during the break. I'm like, you really can. If you go in there, you don't like the legs on the fridge, you come up with another one, or you like draw something on the napkin, and you guys can figure it out. You create it.
We can. We've partnered with like the best in the business, and our designers in the stores are able to take your dreams and make them reality. And it's really fun to see. We love it when we hear about a big delivery that's gone well and the clients are so excited. It's exactly what they wanted. It's kind of like what my sisters and I live for at this point. It's really exciting.
All right. So, okay. So we do have a very serious problem here that
what's
we need to have addressed. And that is that the world famous Carnarvon wagon, which has traveled to three different continents, was tragically destroyed in the move over to 303 East Wacker. Yes,
it had a good run.
Yeah, it did. It had
a
very good run. Yes,
if those wheels could talk,
yeah, they really could. As a matter of fact, the Carnarvon wagon was a witness in a number of court cases over the years where it was just rolled down.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, like it's like the drink cart, like your parents or grandparents, probably, it's like an older generation, mid-20th century kind of thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, one of those that lasted a long time. It was actually Carnarvon 2.0, the one that just got destroyed. So now we need 3.0.
We can do that.
You can do that.
Bar carts are actually really big right now.
Are they?
So you were a trendsetter long before.
Yeah, I brought it back, by
you
the way.
You definitely yeah. did. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we can absolutely hook you up with a bar cart. We'll make sure we've got room in your office for that.
Now, here's the thing about
the
bar cart.
I'd like a bean bag, too. Just put that on the list.
Okay. I'll make sure that happens.
I'd like
There's
one of
nothing
those,
less yeah. comfortable than a bean bag chair.
I love them. No, they can make them comfortable.
We can make
I'm
them
sure
very
you guys do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
In the office. Sit there and watch the TVs because we've got them all over the place. You just don't know which way to look. So you need to be on sort of a...
I've never gotten comfortable in a beanbag in my life. Even when I was four.
Oh,
I
yeah. When the beanbag's there, they're like, all right, have a seat. I'm like,
But we, but listen, if they've
right,
got it,
we're
if
doing they, it.
You, if we've dreamt it, they're going to build a beanbag for us.
We'll
all
make
right,
you
fine.
The dream yeah. beanbag.
Somehow my leather chair is going to go away, but yet the beanbag is coming.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Sounds right.
I don't feel like this is a fair
no,
thing.
It should.
How many times have you guys heard that when you're talking to married couples yeah. about their, you know, their thing? And we're a radio married couple, so that's it's there's constant fighting.
Our designers are sometimes like marriage counselors.
Oh, I bet.
In a way, you know, it's
but sometimes
a lot of
I think it all almost is for the better, like. Because the wife comes in and she's got like very specific ideas,
mm-hmm.
but then we get the husband's ideas and they're very different, but they meet in the middle. And I actually think they end up both being happier and they're not fighting. So everybody wins.
They're holding it together in
yeah,
front of their
but
Smith's
I think they
designer.
Ultimately, like sometimes it's like a meant to be mm-hmm. disagreement. Like
okay.
it leads them to the true home of their dreams.
All right, if you say so, I am going with that. All right, fine. All right, she gets a beanbag. But the
and the oil painting goes.
The narwhal wagon, though, it's got to be. It has to be able to move fairly quickly because sometimes we have to hide it from the bosses. So it's got to be. It's got to have some speed to it.
We'll get some WD-40 on the wheels.
Yeah, like the bigger wheels.
Maybe one with tires instead
yeah.
of wheels.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That is the way. That's the best one because sometimes they get rickety, and then we can't get them out of the way on time. If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Now, what's your drink of choice to have atop?
It's the brown mumbler. It's a Manhattan.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's going to be a brown whiskey at the very top.
Okay.
But the girls like vodka. You know, I know mm-hmm. how that goes.
And I love it. These new Wacker offices are going to be like so Mad Men.
Yes.
Yes.
Totally. Yes.
That's what we're trying to do.
It is kind of like when in Mad Men, when they moved to the new modern offices,
yes.
that's exactly what this looks like.
It's kind of like glass windows. Too,
everything.
Right?
Yeah, there's like very little wall space for us to do anything with, which I think is good. The views here are spectacular.
Yes.
You guys are really lucky.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, even on a day like today, it still is a pretty great
it's interesting.
View.
See the river. And yeah.
Tom Skilling tells us we can see the weather coming in, which does not really make me feel better at all. Thank you so much, Maureen
Thank
and
you.
Katie.
Thank you. This
Smith.
Was really fun.
Smith.com, SMITHE.com is where it all starts for you. We've got Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes. The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. So now, as you just heard in Judy's news,
yeah.
the president does say now that we started talking about Melania's jacket. And I thought, well, why? Because the whole controversy today, and if you watch, depending on which news channel, which flavor you like, it's either a gigantic issue or why is the other channel making such a big deal out of it, right? Well, because she got on an airplane today to go down to the border to go see children who were in a facility down there, mm-hmm. kids age 6 to 17 in a facility. We didn't get to see the kids with her, but we did get to see the people who work in the facility with mm-hmm. her, and she asked questions of them, and it was a live television event earlier. And when she was getting on her aircraft to get down there, she was wearing a Zara kind of sort of military style. Khaki green jacket. On the back of it, it said, I don't care, do you?
I really don't care, do you? Really big. You know, like it went down her entire back, if you haven't seen it yet, starting, you know, roughly between her shoulders. So huge, could not miss it, message.
And so the First Lady's office put out a message saying, or a statement saying, this is not a message, it's just, it's a designer jacket.
Even more than that, they said, even after this important visit to Texas, I hope the media isn't going to choose to focus on her wardrobe.
Right.
And saying it doesn't mean anything.
It's not a hidden message.
That's what they said.
So now the president has tweeted saying, no, there is a message. It's about the media. Do you have the actual presidential tweet? Can somebody give me that really quickly?
Yes, I really, go ahead. Go ahead. I really don't care, do you, written on the back of Melania's jacket, refers to the fake news media. Oh. Melania has learned how dishonest they are, and she truly no longer cares.
I'm glad he did it from his own Twitter, though, this time, instead of tweeting it out from hers.
She doesn't care. All the stories she's hearing, she doesn't care. She knows you're lying about Stormy and Heather.
I hope that's not true. This is not the time to unleash that jacket if that's the case. I mean, really? Coming back?
I don't think that's true.
I don't.
I think he's just him. He's just taking advantage of the moment. Oh, my God. Does she even fight with him anymore, do you think? Or is it just sort of like I'm going through a room? It slams the door.
Maybe it was to him, the message.
Yeah, maybe it was. I really don't care.
I really don't care. Go ahead to be with Daniel Stormy. I don't care. All right. It's what it is. It is what it is.
Some people were tweeting out jokes about, you know, the messaging, saying, well, maybe her jacket was at the dry cleaner that said I'm with Stupid.
All right. But you know what it's time now for?
Let's do it.
Yeah, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. Check it in, Ann.
Number five.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions went on record recently defending family separation on the border. But today, after the executive order that the president signed yesterday, the attorney general got to sort of change a little bit of his tone. Mm-hmm. So he went on the Christian Broadcasting Network. He was on with David Brody. It says that the media narrative out there has been that the administration is caving to pressure and that these optics have not been good for the administration.
Well, it hasn't been good. And the American people don't like the idea that we're separating families. We never really intended to do that. What we intended to do was to make sure that adults who bring children into the country are charged with the crime they've committed, instead of giving that special group of adults immunity from prosecution, which is what, in effect, we were doing. So I think it's the right thing. We'll work our way through it and try to do it in the most compassionate way possible.
It's interesting, though, because there are a number of officials, John Kelly, Kristen Nielsen, mm-hmm. and the president himself at different times have indicated that this really was about sending a message. That the whole idea of prosecuting, which he's right, mm-hmm. I think the initial intent was to prosecute these people, but right. in prosecuting and taking their kids away from them, it would send a message, and maybe that message would be then transmitted down to other people wishing to come across the border with the kids. And the president today, during his event at the White House, which we're going to get to in just a second, he's making the argument that these are all coyotes, bad hombres, bad dudes, the coyotes.
Well, they are.
There's no question they are. But this is really that the vast majority of these kids are unaccompanied by responsible adults in their life, you know, like parents or, you know, the guardians. Mm-hmm. But they've been put in the hands of coyotes to be sent across the border. And, you know, there have been a lot of people also in the media sphere who've been saying, well, these kids are the 5-year-olds are just, you know, drug mules and all that. And there are a lot of apocryphal stories. I'd love to see real statistics about this from Border Patrol and Homeland Security and all the people who are responsible for keeping reports on this. I'd love to see what those real numbers look
like. Well, Jeff Sessions, a couple of days ago when he initially announced answered some of the criticism about the zero tolerance policy and criminally charging anybody who illegally crosses the border, said that we've had a threefold increase in the number of children coming across the border in just 1 year, and that jumped to fivefold if you looked back to, I believe it was 5 years. So it did seem as if more children were being brought across the border. The administration's view of that was, okay, when you have all these kids, they're sending a message that if you bring a kid, you get some kind of protection, and that they were being used as pawns in the process. But you didn't think through the process entirely because you still have children on the other end who are sitting there in detention camps.
All right, checking in at
number four.
This is interesting. Last night, the president was in Minnesota at his rally, and he tore into Democrats regarding the immigration policy.
And by the way, I signed an executive order. We're going to keep families together, but the border is going to be just as tough as it's been. Democrats don't care about the impact of uncontrolled migration on your communities, your schools, your hospitals, your jobs, or your safety. Democrats put illegal immigrants before they put American citizens. What the hell is going on?
Oh, about 8,000 people at that rally last night.
Mm-hmm.
And the president tweeted out, 15,000 were waiting in line. Sorry, too bad you couldn't get in. He's Mr. Compassionate. Now, listen, but there was a moment here, and sometimes there are just things he does that are just straight out, like, jaw-dropping. Like, why would you go there? Certain things that are tangential to the point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Some wandering moments that seem to be wandering. Sometimes they're very sly and intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, here's one. Standing by now.
Worth waiting for.
You know, a little thing I was talking about today. You ever notice they always call the other side, and they do this up there, the elite. The elite. Why are they elite? I have a much better apartment than they do. I'm smarter than they are. I'm richer than they are. I became president and they didn't. Representing the greatest, smartest, most loyal, best people on earth. The deplorables. Remember that?
His apartment's bigger than better than yours. We learned that last
time. I mean, I do like the turn to the audience. Like, hey, it's because of you, people. Which is, you know, you got to do that. But to start with, I'm smarter, richer, better than you. Does that? I mean, is there anybody?
Snobby children on the playground, right? to their fellow, you know, students. I'm richer than you. I'm smarter than you. It's like a child.
I don't understand that. I mean, it's like,
but it worked. Did you see the crowd loved it?
Yeah,
they but that cheering and laughing. Yeah. They thought it was.
I'm president. You're not.
That's what it feels like. It's like 4 years of this. It's going to be like 4 years of, I'm your president, you're not. I can do what I can. You're not touching me. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I mean, come on. I mean, who's the, like in a movie, right? Uh-huh. When the rich kid comes into the room and tells everybody how rich he is and tells everybody else, you know, how they're not like, you know, my dad's bigger than your dad and he can beat you up and I own all of this stuff. That's always the guy. The guy with the pop collar. Right, the pink polo shirt and the pop collar. You hate that guy in the movie.
Yeah. And you're like, who would actually do this?
Right, that's in the movie you go, oh, come on, people don't really act. You know what that's a caricature of. But then he does it. Why would he do that?
I don't know.
All right, now, you know what we did? We drunk Trumped it.
Because the elite. The elite. Why are they elite? I have a much better apartment than they do. I'm smarter than they are. I'm richer than they are. I became president and they didn't.
That really works very well. That's one of your better drunk Trump moments.
Totally works.
All right. We'll get to your 3 or 2 in one. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Skokie suing Evanston. We'll tell you why.
It's about time. That's all I'm going to say. You know, I knew this was going to happen someday.
Build a wall.
I don't know. I don't know.
Build a wall.
I don't know. I would say that this. I'm going to tell you something. Skokie's got good lawyers. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Do we have Violetta right now with the WGN Traffic Trouble? I think she does. Calm.
This week on Chicago's Best, the team is bringing you the best bites on the streets. It's all new Chicago's Best Street Food this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
All right, on ESPN's Golic and Wingo. I keep moving shows around there at ESPN. Yeah. I don't know.
I wish they would just stop shouting so much. That's the only problem I have with ESPN. It's a lot of shouting.
So on Golic and Wingo, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver spoke about the state of the NBA. Now, did his principal tell him he could leave his 8th grade English class to do this?
I know, he looks so young.
Did they let him come out and do this? And what is the impact that legalized gambling is going to have?
Most importantly, from the league standpoint, I mean, this is a position I took as soon as I became commissioner. There's hundreds of billions of dollars bet illegally just in the United States on sports right now. And for us, having it regulated and legal across the country is much better than the current state of affairs where, right. you know, people are paying cash on, you know, it, right. at the corner bar.
I don't understand. He likes the idea of the online gambling?
I don't understand a word of what he just said. I didn't. He looks like he's just about to graduate from high school.
He does. He looks so young.
He looks like a bald junior in high school.
Right.
Yeah, the NBA's for it. They just want a piece of the pie.
Oh, I see.
So that's kind of what they're pushing.
They want
that integrity fee that you've been hearing about, a 1% integrity fee is how they call it.
What does that mean?
It means that's they just put it, they, you know, it's...
They're taxing it.
Yeah, they're taxing it.
That's a street tax.
Right.
That's not an integrity fee. That's like, you know...
Juice.
Right. That's like the right. There are guys on Grand Avenue who used to do that, too.
We call it integrity.
This is you're going to have to pay the integrity fees.
He says...
What does that mean?
He says, we think we should be compensated in certain ways for the additional costs we're going to incur through various integrity measures.
Yeah, that's right. We got integrity measures.
Uh-huh. Listen,
we got to make sure we got this integrity measure right here. So you're going to pay up, all right?
It's a shakedown.
So you're going to, you know, you're going to bet a C note. I need 110 from you. And that don't even count. That don't even count the juice.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, you understand. All right.
He's 56 years old.
Don't make me come back here. That's what he should have said. Oh, he's 56?
Is that possible?
No!
Yes.
No!
Adam Silver, commish of the NBA.
Well, he's graying a little bit now, but he looks like those guys that got gray in high school. Yeah, you know, there's like one kid that got prematurely gray.
Yes.
Yeah, he kind of looks like that. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Jimmy Kimmel last night joked about how Canada has become the second country to legalize marijuana for recreational use.
Uruguay was the first. Starting in October, Canada will be number two. That's exciting. Now Canadians can finally smoke pot. They must really want Seth Rogen back, because that's... anyway, this is going to make hockey hilarious.
All right.
I would have just thought it was already legal there.
Ah!
Oh, let's go ride that moose.
I know, there's going to be a lot of...
I know, I'm worried.
There's going to be a lot of people killed by bears up there.
Licking the syrup off trees.
Right.
Wide open land. Yeah. A lot of marijuana.
Right. And, let's go pet the bear. It looks so friendly. Ha!
Ah.
Well, people are listening to Grateful Dead, and they want to actually dance with a bear, and then it'll be the end of it.
Oh, gee.
That will not end well. All right, and finally...
Number one.
It's the end of an era. The Jerry Springer Show is calling it quits after 4,000 episodes and 27 seasons.
But anyway, I want to let her know, you know what I'm saying? I've been living a lie. You know, I can't go through with this marriage because if I do, you know, it'd be wrong. You know what I'm saying? I just got to let her know.
Why don't you want to go through with the wedding? You say you've been a dog. Who have you been a dog with?
Her best friend.
What?
Oh, God. Oh, I'm going to miss that show.
Oh, gee. I'm kind of happy it's gone.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Springer. Now, it was funny because that show, when Jerry started out on that show, mm-hmm. he was trying to be like Oprah.
Yeah, it was more thought-provoking, yeah. issue-oriented, yeah. A little louder than that, but yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then they decided to start throwing chairs and the ratings went up and they're like, all right, keep it going.
Keep this going.
And then even the security guy that broke up the fights got his own
Steve,
show.
Right, Steve Wilkos. A Lane Tech graduate, I might say.
There you go.
Proud Lane.
I would say that I must admit that I have been a guest on the Jerry Springer Show. And no, I was not in the panel where it was like, I'm not the baby daddy. It wasn't like that. I was, Anna's transition mm-hmm. from going to like standard talk show, mm-hmm. like Oprah talk show mm-hmm. to moving toward like the chair throwing. So I did this bit back in the 90s about Barney. I hated Barney. This is like mid 1990s. I still kind of do. Barney freaked me out.
Why were you watching Barney?
Well, because my daughter was young. I was in the Barney era at that point. Right. So I I didn't like Barney, and I was saying that publicly, and then, you know, it sort of became a little bit of a cause celeb. I don't know, it got the papers, and, uh-huh. It was a simpler time back then.
That's all it took.
It was the kind of thing, that if you said it, you said something controversial like that, and they were like, oh, no, look at what he just said. You know, it's like...
Days of coverage.
Yes.
Now that'd be like a minute.
Yeah, not a minute. I mean, they were like, well, if the president didn't say it, then if the president could say it, and we'd go, okay, forget about it. What was on his wife's coat? Anyway, the point is this. That we have got this, that we had this moment where I'm sitting there and they did not tell me this was going to happen. And I'm talking about my distaste for Barney. There's a bunch of kids on the panel with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the one kid stands up and then says, I want to kick him in the nuts. Just like that.
Oh, gosh.
I love you. You love
Barney
me.
Was big in the 90s.
Yeah.
There's something creepy about him, though.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. All right.
A big
yeah.
hug and a kiss. All right, from please. Me yeah. To you.
Yeah. See, now, and Barney looked a little like Harvey Weinstein, too. So now you can't even have that.
A lot of hugs, that guy.
Yeah. Right. A lot of hugs. All right.
I was talking about Barney. May I just interrupt you guys? The Charles Krauthammer has passed away, and friend of the show, Brett Baer, has just written a very nice, thoughtful tribute to him.
Oh, wow.
And his passing. He had, remember, written an op-ed, or I'm sorry, written a piece, I believe, in the New York Times about, you know, his cancer returning, and that he was dying, and these are my final days, and he has now passed away.
All right.
Very sad news.
Our thoughts are with not only his family and his friends, but also those many, many, many colleagues that he had over there that we've talked to over the years. Brett, obviously, is on this show quite
A
bit. And A.B. Stoddard, who absolutely loved Charles Krauthammer. So very sad news right there.
Yeah, it is.
The top five at five.
Concho with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. A couple things to remind you. We have got Hawks passes for the convention coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Nice.
All right. You want to stop by the... You want to get in? You want to take the kids? I got a family 4-pack of passes for the whole weekend. That is coming your way July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. And I got a family 4-pack for you in the 6 o'clock hour. And don't forget, you can meet Judy Pilak. You can meet Judy Pilak, yes, you can, on Saturday at a Goodwill store. Not any Goodwill store. The Goodwill store. A Goodwill store at 1916 Dempster Street. Now, what would that be? 1916 Dempster. Is that... is that in Evanston? Or is that in... is that in Morton Grove? Or is
Did
that
you say
in
1915?
1916.
It's Evanston.
Evanston, you're right.
Evanston.
Go Cats.
All right. The Goodbye Girl. You see the Goodbye Girl there. She'll show you how Goodwill can help you create the perfect table for outdoor entertainment. And that is coming your way this Saturday from noon to 2.
And it's just in time for 4th of July.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why she's doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's 1916 Dempster Street in Evanston. All right.
Okay. Very cool.
So we got that going for us. Now, there is a story that I think is of great import to the kids on the program right now.
National Selfie Day?
It is. Is it National Selfie Day?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, I got to take a good one.
Kim Kardashian, by the way, has said she's no longer interested in selfies. She's going to turn her attention to bigger
Didn't
issues.
She invent the selfie?
She's pretty close to it. So the duck lips and the whole thing, you know?
Let's retire the selfie.
Yeah. Maybe time.
I don't know that there is a way to retire the selfie. Because that's all, we've created now a total selfie generation.
See, but what is the definition of a selfie? Because I don't like when people just take, in my opinion, a selfie is when you take it on the reverse camera where you can see yourself. That is a selfie. If you take it from the other side, just of one person standing somewhere, that's not a selfie. That's just...
Violette has
portrait.
Lots of experience taking selfies of herself every day.
I think a selfie is just when you take it yourself, of yourself.
Yeah, I would just say that's...
Yeah. I, the most annoying thing is when people put themselves in another circumstance. right? They take the selfie of them in front of, you know, well, yeah, if you're like going to a big show and you're like, hey, look at me, I'm, you know, going to go see the show or whatever it happens to be, or I'm doing, you know, that's one thing. But did you see this person who took a selfie in front of like a paramedics resuscitating somebody on a street?
What? Like, here I am, what? Guys.
Yes. There's like, look at, and they put themselves in the selfie. So somebody took a picture of this person taking a picture.
Wow.
It's like Inception.
That's pretty low.
There's like that kid that tried to take a selfie with, like, right in front of a moving train, and the conductor, like, kicked him in the head.
Oh, my God.
That was funny.
I mean, it is a ridiculous.
I was taking a selfie once in front of a mirror at my house, like one of those full-length mirrors, and my grandma was walking behind me in her apron and looking all crazy.
Was she making cabbage rolls?
No, I don't know where she was running to. But I'm like, Grandma, I'm dressed up, going out on a Saturday night, ruining my selfie.
Concrete cowboy, Boris is expecting me.
So then she started hustling, and I got a and I have a picture of her trying to fast walk behind me again as I'm trying to take a selfie.
That was a great story.
It was. It was funny.
It's a nice payoff at the end. That's what I like.
Yeah, it's real nice. Yeah. You know, a story should have a point.
The point is, it's selfie day, and that's my embarrassing selfie story. Story.
Okay. That's so embarrassing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was horrible.
Your grandma walked behind me when I was taking a picture of myself in the mirror. There was a mirror back there, and I was getting a picture. Why were you taking a selfie in a mirror?
Because you can get the whole outfit, and that's how a lot of selfies are done.
Oh, that's true.
Do you remember Geraldo Rivera's selfie?
Yeah, in the mirror.
Can never unsee?
Yeah. That's true. Oh, my God.
You always have to be vigilant, though, what's in the background as well.
Yeah, because if Grandma gets in the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Grandma's, there's going to be hell to pay for Grandma. Get out of here.
That doesn't look cool anymore.
I got an outfit on.
Grandma's in the picture with the apron on.
I got to show you guys pictures.
No, no, it's okay.
It's so funny.
I didn't like the story, let alone having to look at the picture.
I'm sending
this
it
out. This is not why I called.
No, there's something else concerning millennials.
Tipping. Turns out millennials are the worst tippers. A new survey says.
Sure they are.
10% of Americans aged 18 to 37 say they routinely leave no gratuity.
What?
No, 10%. That's no gratuity. And about a third say they leave less than 15%.
Who did this study?
That's not your experience with your friends?
Creditcard.com. No.
So they would know.
What is creditcard.com?
They would see the receipts.
Right,
they actually have the data. They have data.
Here's the problem. You have the age range here is from 18 to 37.
That means
there's an 18-year-old who's probably still living at home versus a 37-year-old who probably has a job. Like, that's too big
probably
of a range
has a job,
there.
But still living at home. I think you should mention.
Yeah, eating avocado toast.
Kevin, you look down at people who live at home because that's so
no, what I'm
seven
saying,
months ago.
No, what I'm saying is that the range here is ridiculous. You're talking about like a high schooler
right,
who's
I
18.
That. I get that. Okay.
All right, fine.
You're talking about 20
you that,
years separating
even,
these.
Even as an 18-year-old, I still left a tip when I went to a restaurant.
This is fake news. I'm writing it off as fake news.
My generation tips the most. Generation X. Oh, actually, just almost matched by people age 73 and above. They say baby boomers are right in between.
20% every time.
I do 20%.
I've never seen
anybody
and
maybe
be
more
a bad
if it's,
tipper.
If it's good service.
Yeah, 20% is my minimum. Even if they spit in my food, it's 20%.
I feel bad. I'm like, well,
I
must
for
be
that,
having
yeah.
a rough day.
Yeah. That's
nothing
minimum.
Worse, though, than going out with millennials who, like, don't have any money.
Everybody wants to split
the
bill.
Maybe that's it.
It's really horrible. Like, it's like, I feel like I have to get, like, a pizza just so everyone can eat.
Who are you hanging out with?
I don't know. I just recently went out, and I'm like, I gotta go.
She just recently went out. This is like one of those commercials. I just recently went out for the first time, and I feel out of paramedic.
Although people from the Midwest were more likely to tip higher than people from other regions.
I believe that.
Women more than
men. That part of it's not fake news. The rest of it's fake news.
I think Violetta's got all those friends who are like, well, you've got a job. You're on the radio. You've got money. You can pay for it.
Do you get that?
Why do I have to pay for it? You pay for it.
Oh, I get that a lot, too. You work in radio? You should pick up the bill. Like, no, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
That does not work that way.
No, radio's not known for that. No. What is the, who are these, were you shepherding young children across a border?
I went to, I hung out with some kids from grammar school that I went to grammar school with.
Okay.
They had like
they're
a
They're not currently in grammar
school.
No,
they had a film festival type thing.
Okay.
I hope they're not listening. And, I went out with them and their extended friends, and we ended up at this bar, and it was just really hectic to try to, like they weren't drinking. And then they were all drinking PBR, and I accidentally ordered an extra PBR, so I'm like,
by the way, Pabst Blue Ribbon for non-hipsters, and also for people that older people who are like, why are kids drinking that?
Because it's like $3.50.
Yeah.
So I accidentally ordered an extra one because I was ordering for the group. And then I'm like, oh, well, you know, whoever just finishes, they can drink this because I'm not drinking this. So I just put it in the middle of the table. And then they just started chugging their drinks so that they could get the PBR. I was like, I got to go.
So how old are these? I mean, they're your age?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess they're like 25.
Sheesh.
24. Right, I don't know.
Hold on. We got to.
What?
Craig is going to explain this to us. He's an Uber driver. And Craig, can you confirm the story that millennials are bad tippers?
18 to 30-year-olds don't tip at all.
Not at all.
Whoa. I'm sorry. Do people tip Uber drivers?
Yeah, you tip them.
Yes, Violetta. This is 2018.
How? With Uber cash? Drivers. With cash?
No, it tells you in the...
It's on the
and
app.
On the app.
All right, now wait
come
a second.
On,
now that's
come
an
on, girl.
So now that's
if an... If you can take a selfie, you know that you can tip Uber drivers.
I like... Come do on. You have little mints available or little water bottles?
I love when they have snacks.
I've got whatever you want, but is that what I have to do to get a tip out of you? Can I just get you from point A to point B in a reasonable amount of time in a comfortable environment?
Can I ask you a question?
That's all you expect.
Yeah, as an Uber guy, how often do you Uber? How much of your day do you spend doing this?
I do it full time.
Okay.
I spend about 45 hours a week.
Okay,
and
that's what I'm
noticed. Have you noticed the difference of people, say, above the age of 30, that they're tipping way more?
Yeah, I can give you a breakdown if you want.
Yeah, what's your experience?
Okay, 18 to 30-year-olds hardly ever tip. Rich people, when they're sober, don't tip. Rich people, when they're drunk, tip really, really well.
Yeah, that's
Whoa.
True.
Yeah,
I know.
Asians almost always tip.
I don't know if you're going to get the categories.
Women or men? How about that?
Women seldom, men always.
Interesting. So now that's the thing. Now, do you prefer, does it matter to you if you get the tip in cash versus on the app?
You know, it really doesn't matter because to me, the tip isn't, and it's not just about the money. It's about the fact that they recognize the fact that I did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, when you to your barber, do you tip? When you go to a restaurant, do you tip? Why do you tip?
Well, I think originally there was some confusion, I think, in the whole Uber thing, which was when Uber started, there was this notion that you just get in, you get out, and you don't have to worry about it.
And you never tipped in the beginning,
right.
did you?
There was no transaction.
It was just sort of, it was what it was.
But, everything was supposed to be included.
Yeah, but
But now that's pretty clear. They ask you when you complete your ride, would you like to tip? How much? And you can customize it.
Exactly. So now we can get that. All right. Okay. I do it on the app, though. Because I only carry Bitcoin with me now, and so that's the only way I can do it. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Craig.
All right.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you. And he does confirm that Violetta.
Study.
Do you tip your Uber driver? Apparently, you don't. Violetta.
I honestly didn't know that was a feature.
It pops up
what do you
on
mean?
The app.
Well,
it's a newer feature, though. You were right.
It is newer.
It is newer. They're saying it's been
like
a year since Uber. A year. Okay, but where
have you
been? How often?
Have you been in an Uber in the last year?
I think I use other people's Ubers.
Oh, that's it.
I'm like, give me your phone real quick.
Yeah, she's got stolen. She's
classic
just on
maneuver.
Her stolen phones.
20%, folks. That's my final answer.
Even for an Uber driver?
It gives you an option, like $1, $3, $5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to figure out. They just say, $1, $2, $3, whatever. It's not that much.
You know what, though? I went and got a sandwich the other day, and I used a credit card, and a little thing came up in the box saying, would you like to tip your server?
You mean like when you're right, like
over the counter sandwich?
It's like a Clover system.
I mean, I'm like,
I kind of feel obligated sometimes, but it does seem weird when it's a pre-prepared sandwich on from the outside.
All right, let us now stop, and I have to take a rest now based on what I've just heard. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Good news on the job front in Illinois.
All right, Violetta.
Great song.
All right, well, I'm spoiler alert. I read Richard Roper's review of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get your $16, I think is the name of that film.
Damn it. I was really hoping this one would be good.
I was too.
I love the Jurassic Park movies.
And Mr. Roper has just stepped into the studio, and I believe that Mr. Roper, let's just get right to it, because let's just get it out of the way.
Dirty details.
Well, it's called Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which is a very appropriate title, because they're destroying the Jurassic Park kingdom, the franchise itself. First of all, you go back to 1993, and that original, the Steven Spielberg film, is so great. And when you realize what they did with the relatively limited CGI and special effects with those dinosaurs and all of that, it's a revolutionary film. Mm-hmm. It's one of the touchstones of all CGI films and adventures, and such a great idea. Mm-hmm. Bring the dinos back to life, and then they turn on you, right? Well, they always end up doing that. Yeah. So now we're all the way up to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This is
Number is this?
This would be the fifth. There were three in the 90s, and then in 2015, they brought it back with Jurassic World. And one of the things I liked about the 2015 edition was they acknowledged what happened in the 90s. This was set literally like 25 years later because, like, you know, kids were wearing retro Jurassic Park t-shirts. They'd heard about this great amusement park that had long since been destroyed. Now they brought it back. And once again, once the dinosaurs were mistreated and let out in the wild, you know, it's man versus dinosaur. So now it's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. This is set 3 years after the events of 2015. So your main characters are your Bryce Dallas Howard, who was sort of the curator of the dino theme park.
Really,
and then Chris Pratt, who's the dino whisperer, right? You know, like he does the little thing where he goes, and then like the raptor remembers him. Look, it's me. I used to be on Parks and Rec, but now I'm in good shape, and I'm an action hero from this and Guardians of the Galaxy. So they're back. And well, now, in this case, of course, there was a disaster on the theme park 3 years ago. It's been closed down.
Right.
Now a volcano is erupting on that island, right? A giant, huge volcano. So all the dinosaurs that have survived are going to be extinct. So now they're going to have Senate hearings, and they have to decide, should we let the volcano erupt and destroy all the dinosaurs, or should we maybe go get about a dozen of them and bring them back to the United States, King Kong style?
Because
what
could
possibly go wrong there? That's the setup. That's, you know, and we always talk about the fact, okay, it's a dinosaur movie, and I realize that you already have to take that leap of faith. But within that world, you still have to have believable things happening and people acting in ways that they would act. And instead, people are either stupid or so corrupt and evil that they make every wrong decision. And whoever makes the cages, that house, whether it's the King Kong apes or the Jurassic Park dinosaurs, they should be out of business. Because those cages, you know, you always got the obligatory guy that goes, this cage could hold anything. You know, my great-grandfather designed the Titanic, which was unsinkable. And then there's just one latch. Just one little latch. And all you have to do is get, like, kind of somebody unhook it. Or when the dinosaur gets really mad, they break through the steel cage as if it's made of paper. When will they learn? So all of these things happen. I hated this movie. I gave it 1.5 stars because it was so stupid, and because it's like the acting. I like Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard a lot, but it just feels like you could almost see them looking at the tennis ball on a string that's going to stand in for the dinosaur while they're doing it. It's a hard thing to do, to appear as if you're in the same room with the dinosaurs. Now, they do have some that are animatronic and you know, puppet-type, you know, creations, and, you know, thousands of people worked really hard to make them believable. You could always tell the difference when they're just green screen and when there are 12 men underneath the table working all the fingers and claws and arms and stuff of the dinosaur. So it never really blends well. And then you just have it is the stupidest plot. The idea is, and you get this a lot in these movies, you always get some arms dealer who thinks, you know what we can do? We can weaponize these creatures. They're going to be way better than any soldier. And we're going to program them with a chip. And then a bunch of evil, corrupt Eastern European warlords literally come to the estate where these dinosaurs are, and they have a bidding war, and they bring them out on a big runway like a fashion show.
Oh my god!
And they're like, and this is the raptor, the meanest of them all. Do I hear 12 million, 14 million, and all these evil Ruskies like bid on the raptors that they're going to turn into weapons? That's the setup of this
movie. I happen to think that that's the most believable part of everything you have just explained.
Weaponize them.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing. The Russians and the whole deal. I just got to feel like, right.
Put them in space. Evil. Put them in Space Force.
Well, maybe. Or how about Dino Force?
Dino Force.
New idea.
Start
Hold
that
on.
Department of the military.
Getting rid
new
of the
branch.
Army. Dino Force.
But is it one of those movies that's still going to do well?
It's going to do great. Yeah. It's already doing huge. They did a smart thing, too. They released it worldwide 2 weeks before they released it in the States. Because, I mean, there are certainly critics across the world, but the critical and word of mouth means mm-hmm. less, usually in a lot of those markets. People, there are not as many movies to see. Mm-hmm. And like in markets like China, they love to go to see the American movies. So it's already made like $500,000. And it'll still make a lot of money here.
Half
but
a,
it's
half, billion.
Half a billion. Half a million the first day. And it'll make $120, $130 million here this weekend in the United States. But it's not a good movie. And it kind of sets up a cool sequel. I will say that. What happens at the end does set up a pretty cool sequel. But for
I'm surprised that they would do something like that.
But it really is a fall. 1.5 stars for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Really bad.
And also, and I'm going to spoil this because I think this isn't fair. For the fans who love Jeff Goldblum, and they're like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's coming back. He is in about 1% of this movie. And his scenes are separate from everyone else. He said he has two scenes that were clearly filmed separately from everyone else. Mm-hmm. It's just his character. He must have spent 2 days on the set at most.
Is he doing a real estate commercial from the same set?
Pretty much. You know, get you to your apartment, right? Yeah. You know, the inventor of the apartment. So, you know, it would be really cool if he had returned and interacted with the new generation and warned them. But that's not what's happening here.
So go see Incredibles 2 if you have, like, a kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, it's going to do great business. I saw it.
Will kids like it?
Yeah, it's not. Probably, it's right? not. Yeah, I mean, it's a little intense, but it's always those scenes, you know, where you know the dinosaur swoops in on the human being and chomps its head, and you hear a little crackling noise, but you don't see like the head exploding and the blood, you know, shooting out all over the place. It's more like that. And I also hate these movies where they turn at some point they'll turn these dinosaurs, one in particular, basically into a stalker in a horror movie where it's able to, like, you know, run down the hallway and open doors. And at one point, it's even kind of like tapping its claws like a finger, waiting for someone and like lifting the covers up as if it has a personal vendetta against the one individual that it's trying to get.
That's
insane.
That is not too human for me.
Yeah. A lot of that. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the
a lot of human crunching.
Yeah, there's a lot of human crunching. And, you know, lots of scenes in the water. You know, you can tell they spent a boatload of money with all the extras and all the running around, but you know the opening scene where you're on a this giant volcano, so you get the volcano erupting all over the place, plus the dinosaurs are running for their lives, plus the mercenaries are there trying to round up the dinosaurs, and I'm like, okay, pick a thriller scene. Don't have seven at once. And the guy who's the head of the American team bringing the dinosaurs back is the same guy who was Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. So you know, never trust that guy.
Oh. Does he get eaten too?
I'm not going to say.
I bet he does.
Richard Roper, brought to you by Archideck.
Thank you.
Chicagoland.com.
Thank you for bringing me.
You're welcome. All right, let's check it. What other movies are we? Oh, yeah, TV series we want to talk about
too. We're talking about a big time TV series and a documentary that Chicagoans in particular I think are really going
to
find interesting.
All right, let's find out what Judy's doing in the newsroom right now.
It's just a jacket, or is it?
Violetta?
It's never just a jacket. This week on Chicago's Best, the team's bringing you the best bites on the streets. It's all new Chicago's Best Street Food this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, Richard Roper is here. He did not like Jurassic Park. What could possibly go wrong?
Fallen Kingdom.
Okay, 1.5 stars.
Do I talk about Yellowstone TV series?
Yes.
Interesting.
Kevin Costner, right?
Movie. Yeah, and this is on the Paramount Network, and you have to just check your local listings. It used to be Spike TV. Okay. Now it's the Paramount Network.
So if you
Network.
Have Spike, you have Paramount.
Yes, and it's a basic cable network, so I don't think you'd pay an explicit premium, but because it's cable, you can have the language and the nudity and the violence and everything in these series.
They have commercials, too.
So, yes, there are commercials. So, you know, if know that going into it, like
plan accordingly.
10, like 12 minutes into it, go like, oh, wait a minute.
But it's like Mad Men was like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People put up with it.
And in those cases too, of course, you know, the people making those shows knew there were going to be commercial breaks. So there's a different way of pacing and, putting in break points in the show or the movie itself if you know they're going to be commercial breaks, as opposed to a lot of times when you watch a theatrical movie on TV and like half Rocky's just about to punch Apollo and all of a sudden it'll just go to a commercial break and you come back and they just kept the movie running during the commercial break.
Oh, I hate that.
You gotta cut me, Mick. You gotta wait a minute. I thought Rocky was hitting Apollo. So this is, you know, paced accordingly. And the creator of this show is Taylor Sheridan. We've talked about him. He was on Sons of Anarchy. He played the deputy police chief. He's also one of the greatest film writers in recent years. He wrote Sicario and the upcoming Sicario 2, Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges, and Wind River. You know, three great movies, and he specializes in these kind of either Western or kind of Western theme. This Yellowstone is set on a ranch in Montana, the Yellowstone Ranch. It's set in present day, but it really has a feel of an old-fashioned Western. And Kevin Costner plays the patriarch of the ranch. Kevin Costner in a cowboy hat.
That's awesome.
You can't do better than that, right? Perfect. And he is, and unlike Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic World, he's the star of this series. I think it's, I want to say, eight episodes. And I think they'll decide after that if there's going to be a second season, but I think it's pretty much self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a ranch in Montana that is the size of Rhode Island. So he's the most powerful person probably in Montana, wow. And he wants to keep his ranch going. It's adjacent to an Indian reservation where there's a lot of battles going on there. So like when his cattle wander onto their land, they're like, oh, those are ours now because this is our land. We don't recognize your authority.
Ooh.
And then the cowboys and the Indians, if you will, go at it. So it's got an Old West feel where the law just is like, a lot of Old West movies where the sheriff always comes in and says, I don't want any part of this. You guys figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Very complex, great relationships. Kevin Costner's got a bunch of bunch of grown sons and a daughter. Some of them are very successful. Others, you know, are very disappointing to him. And it's all about the relationships between the Native Americans, the politicians, and then those on the Yellowstone Ranch. And, man, this is some intense stuff. The first 5 minutes of this series is bloody, and a gun is fired, and most people will go, like, I can't believe they just showed what they showed there.
Wow.
I don't want to say any more than that.
Gets your
great
attention.
Acting in this. We got a real quick clip here. This is Kevin Costner and Wes Bentley, who's a great actor. He's been around since American Beauty. You might remember him. He was the kind of strange kid next door.
Mm-hmm.
He plays his son, who's a lawyer. And here's Kevin Costner as the father explaining the ways of the world to his son.
All right. Alan asked me to mention it, so I will. It allows to harvest the timber before this.
No. The answer's no.
Yeah. Can I do this?
Yeah. When you say no, it must be the death of the question.
Mm, I understand.
There's even a hint of maybe the questions won't stop until they find something you can't say no to.
Mm. Mm.
You got to learn when to think like a lawyer, you understand? And when to think like a landowner. A lawyer's all you're ever going to be.
Oh.
Laying it out for him there. And Danny Houston, another great character actor, plays the obligatory developer who wants to take some of that land and put up million-dollar condos with the greatest views of nature. But, of course, we're going to have to destroy nature to put up those condos. And there's some great battles there between, you know, none of these people are rubes or fools. That's the thing. You know, Kevin Costner's character, he's up against some really smart, cunning people, too. But, man, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens in this thing. It's got a little feel almost like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you're not sure who to root for, but you kind of love the bad guys. But everybody, there's different degrees of bad and good in this.
All right, this is called Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
I'm intrigued by this one.
It is on the Paramount Network, which is on your cable or your satellite, because it used to be Spike TV.
Yes.
So they've rebranded and they've started with this, and it's 8 episodes.
Yes, it premiered last night, so you probably already call that up. And that was a 2-hour, like almost full movie premiere. And then it'll be about an hour in subsequent episodes.
Wow. And you just can't go wrong with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
In a cowboy hat.
Are there Tatanka there?
Maybe.
At any point, does he put his fingers over his head and go, Tatanka?
It's possible.
Yeah, all right.
It's possible.
That's his best. That's his best role of all time. All right, I'm the only person alive. Only person alive.
That what?
That Rumor Has It movie. I love that movie.
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Yeah. See, there you go. Oh, that was
you
sweet.
And Violetta.
Yeah.
You thought that she kissed her dad.
Oh, jeez.
That was awesome.
It's like Star Wars all over again. The
yeah,
and the
I'm
sister.
Still not sure she didn't. That was the only problem with that movie.
And she kind of liked it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Well, Rudy Giuliani would love it.
Okay. And did you want to mention this documentary?
Three stars for Yellowstone. And very quickly, there's a documentary called The Bill Murray Stories. Check it out. You know, we've all heard these stories about Bill Murray showing up at somebody's wedding or like washing dishes at a college party or, you know, jumping in a kickball game. Well, the documentary filmmaker had kind of a cool idea. He finds all the people that have had, not all the people, but a lot of people that have Bill Murray stories, and they tell the story. And of course, they've got the photos and the videos to prove it, that it's not an urban legend. And it's a really cool examination of why Bill Murray does this. His essential purpose for doing this is he wants to live a regular life, at least for one evening. So when he does this, he doesn't do it to be the center of attention. He does it to kind of blend in. Mm-hmm. So he hangs around long enough that people get used to the fact that Bill Murray's washing the dishes in the kitchen, or Bill Murray's playing tambourine with the house band. And then he disappears as fast as he came. And he's been doing it for 20 years. So it's a cool, neat little documentary called The Bill Murray Stories. There are stories about Bill Murray. The director himself tries to meet Bill Murray, and I will say that he does have an encounter with him, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh,
very
Bill Murray Stories. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check it out.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's check out now Judy's News, which is coming your way in 2 minutes. It's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I got, you know what I got?
What do you have over there?
That's what I got.
Mm-hmm.
What I got? I got a family four-pack of passes to go to the 11th annual Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms online at chicagoblackhawks.com. It's happening at the end of July. You're going to love this, 27th through 29th. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips us off.
Didn't Stan Bowman make a little bit of a reveal today about Corey Crawford? We saw that Kevin used to say.
Kevin, what did he do?
I don't know. You have to tell me, Anna.
Said that it was cryptic, but I just, they're saying Corey Crawford progress update, and Bowman says we expect Corey to be back. So that was the update they had on his status and
his health status.
More at the convention, yeah. So
interesting.
Look forward to that.
Do we think he wasn't healthy? I mean, I know he obviously didn't play.
Well, he was close to returning towards the end of last year, but he obviously never got back on the ice, or at least the playing time. But
because they were out of the playoffs at that point, they weren't going to risk further injury, right?
Exactly.
But we never really know what it is. It's an upper body.
Exactly. So we don't know what it was. They're definitely going to be in the market for a backup. We heard the name Scott Darling. We talked to Eddie about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's no certainties there. It was sort of a strange injury. They didn't really give us any sort of idea what it was. So, yeah, I think they're going to try to add depth at the goalie position.
Okay. Led to random and reckless speculation.
It did.
That's the one thing about the hockey injury situation. When they don't tell you, we all go, we immediately
go to different places, dark places sometimes.
We turn into our social media selves, and we come up with the worst, and we think the worst thing that some of us would tweet and others of us wouldn't.
In hockey, everything's upper body or lower body. What's vertigo?
That would be upper body.
Upper body.
Upper. Okay. Yeah. Upper body.
If you have vertigo in your butt cheeks, then it's lower body.
Well, doesn't it affect your entire body, vertigo?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that
it's
where it comes. It's right. It's where
it initiates.
Yes.
Okay. In the head. Just one clarification on that.
It's right in the head, right here. It's okay. Right. I am all right. So we have to update here, because there's this story about Melania's coat.
Oh, is there an update on that?
It's
just taken off. Hasn't
gotten
it?
To be so ridiculous now.
Right. Well, initially the Daily Mail broke it around, what, like noon today, just saying, hey, she's wearing this coat. Here's where you can buy it. Zara sells it. It's $39. But look at the back of this military hoodie that she was wearing as she got on or off the plane there. And it just said, I really don't care.
Do you?
Do you?
In I really big, don't care.
Bold
do you?
Letters on her back. And so it led to a lot of speculation. Did she know she put that on? What was she trying to say? Her official response from the spokeswoman from her office said, no, there's no message here. Don't read anything into it. Please, you're not talking about her outfit, are you? But then the president contradicted that.
Yes. And the president
Shocking.
Then went to Twitter to say they, she's talking about the press because you're all dishonest and you're lying, especially about the Stormy Daniels. He didn't say that part, but that's what he's. That really is what say. It is. Yeah.
No, but he's. He
but maybe it was a message for the president, not for the people.
Okay, so this is where it. This is where it is heading. As of this hour, what are we? 6 hours into this now, something like mm-hmm. that.
Just about.
Yep.
Coatgate.
Coatgate. Right.
Coatgate.
That now the speculation is because the White House, CNN is reporting that the White House had a meeting. The press staff had a meeting about this with the president,
mm-hmm.
and that they came up with this idea. Let's say it's about the press, because apparently no one has spoken to her about what it actually meant, or if they have, they don't want to say. And now the question is, was she really trying to send a message to him? Is this the way you do it? I don't think so. You know what I think happened here?
What?
I think she... There was a khaki coat in her closet. Who does her... Does she go to Zara? How does she end up with her clothes?
I don't think she goes to Zara.
The thing is, too, the coat has one of those things in the back where you can tighten it. So it shrinks everything.
Like a drawstring?
Yeah. And so the words are not really visible. I mean, it looks like there's words, but you can't make them out.
Yeah, I don't think she had even a clue what was on the back of that jacket. Like, I think what Rose said, I think she saw a khaki green jacket, grabbed it and put it on.
Right.
What you want?
There are big, bold letters on the back of that jacket, though. I mean, anyone who's seen it would say, you might notice that part. Big, like, white, almost, you know.
They're like bubble letters.
I mean, even if she did, she might not even get the sense that it's, like, you know, it's...
A sensitive subject.
Yes.
Okay, the truth of the matter is, that's my jacket.
I told her to wear it.
And she grabbed it out of the closet and then left. And it's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me. I'm rich and you're not. President, you're not. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, people thought it was tone deaf because you're visiting, you know, migrant children and... Obviously, this is a visit of great empathy and to show, and I think that's legitimate. In her heart, she came out very quickly after the president, the policy was under fire. She said, "I don't agree with this. Kids should not be separated from their parents." It feels like that is in her heart, and she went down there and legitimately to try to show some empathy.
Maybe it's ironic or sarcastic, like we should have cared about this from the beginning, and my husband didn't. So it's almost like a jab?
No, it's my coat. Let's just, at this point, we've lost the idea of whether or not it was tone deaf or lacked empathy for her to wear it. Now it's about what did she mean by it. This story has totally changed.
It has major legs.
Right.
And it's running.
This story will probably not make it to the morning news cycle, but it is certainly dominating today's news cycle. So now the story is no longer First Lady goes down and sees these kids, which we do not have pictures of because they didn't want to show the kids. With the First Lady. They didn't want to show the kids, period, because you can't. Because you do that live, you can't blur their faces and their minors.
Protect,
and we still do have some rules and
absolutely.
Ethics. And so that was, so they didn't show that. And everybody got it. And the press understood. And they weren't, I had not heard that any of the major news organizations were complaining about that part. But then when she wore the coat, though, everybody's like, well, why would she wear a coat that shows a lack of empathy? And now it's turned into all of this. And then the president, he's just got this way of stepping on the message. There's no discipline in the White House because he just wants to react to everything. And he gets antsy and bored and like, all right, I'm bored. I gotta stir something up. He's a poop stirrer. That's what he is. That's what he wants to do.
Classic poopster.
He's a poopster, and he just decided he's going to stir some poop. That's the whole point. Or poop some stir. Whatever. He's going to do all of it. And then he does it. And then it's like, and then it makes it worse. Now, here's what I want to get to here.
Okay.
It's just us sitting around the kitchen table right now,
mm-hmm.
or the island in the kitchen is mm-hmm. really what it is now. And I want to pull out, you know, I want to have my brown mumbler, and I want to say something important here.
Okay.
How does she react to him when she gets home? And it's like, why would you say that to, why would you say it's about the meat? What are you doing?
when her, really her own spokesperson had already said it's nothing about that. There's no meaning.
Right. Because he keeps contradicting. He gets out there and he contradicts everything that he did. Like, you know, he sent all the surrogates out to say, no, we're going to keep doing this. We're going to separate the kids because we're sending a message. And then all of a sudden, I saw the pictures. They didn't like it. And my surrogates are idiots for saying that. You know, sort of like, it's like no one can get through one day of doing something, even if it is completely benign or proactive or good, or even it's what the president wants him to do, before he steps on it and makes it weird for the people who are trying to do the right thing. I mean, you got Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions is a human white chocolate pretzel right now.
Yeah.
That is what he is. A human white chocolate pretzel. Because he cannot, no matter what he does, he's done the wrong thing. You know, you ever have that? Like, your boss is like, doesn't matter what you do, you've done the wrong thing. Or your spouse.
You sort of get on that side. Maybe you did something really, really bad. And then everything after that, even if it's only sort of bad or really kind of good even, it just falls on the bad side.
Right. And so he says, so Jeff Sessions says, no, it's not about the, it was never about trying to punish the kids. Yes, it was about trying to punish the kids. He doesn't know whenever he answers whatever it's going to be. It's just a tough thing over there.
It is. And the knockoff jackets now that people are tweeting about, and the Democrats are starting to write, have on their backs, we care. And there's a response to this. I know you don't, but we do.
Hey, if I'm Zara,
that's kind of petty.
I would do a we care jacket now.
But yeah, this jacket sold out within half an hour.
Now there's going to be limited edition versions, special
of the
editions.
Story hitting.
Yeah. Zara is a Spanish company, right?
Mm-hmm. It's...
Okay, who's impressed that I knew that? Anybody?
I'm very impressed that you knew that.
How about that? Yep, no big deal. Fashionista.
Yeah, they were founded in 1975.
Yep, fashionista.
In fact, it only came to America. What, in like the last 10 years? It was in New York, I think.
And people like Zara,
Chicago.
Right?
Yeah, I like Zara.
But Zara, it's not like a high-priced place.
No, they kind of do. What they were known for is getting things quick from the runway to the knockoff world. So what you saw on the runway that you wanted that was way too expensive, they knocked it off and made it, you know, reasonable and affordable, but really cool.
Oh, they have men's clothes. Huh.
They have kids' clothes, too.
Oh, we got to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
what are,
over
what
there
are you doing tonight? Yes.
Let's go shopping.
We've got to get this. Do they have a male version?
I don't know.
Show trip to Zara.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can pick
up
something.
On Rose credit card?
Yeah. And I'll be the one sitting in the idiot chair while you guys are all buying stuff. And Kev's like, can we just go watch a game? Oh, rained out. This sucks.
Let's try the draft on. Let's go watch that.
Yeah, that's true. The draft, right? The draft is tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
All right. Wait, when did the Bulls pick?
A few picks away.
Okay.
The Grizzlies are on the clock.
Who was the number one?
It was DeAndre Ayton, as expected, from the Arizona. Goes to the Phoenix Suns. Guy's a monster.
So he stays at home.
I like when you guys were talking about fashion.
I know. Sorry. But again, this is like being around the kitchen. This is around the island right now. We're deciding, what are we going to do tonight?
Right.
And, you know, as a family, what are we going to do?
I don't have any plans. The game was rained out. I'm not working tonight.
So we got to... Nobody
true.
Knows
Your
what to do.
Your schedule's open.
Yeah.
And this is... So we can either sit around and we can go to Zara and go buy the place. Do you think the Zara... Where, there's a Zara down on State Street.
Yeah, right. Michigan Avenue. Maybe State Street as well, but there is a location.
Yeah,
right
Michigan there Avenue. Go to Michigan Avenue.
Then 900 North Michigan, yeah.
And we can't. And now we can't go see Jurassic Park because Richard said it. Uncle Rich said it was bad.
Can binge watch Yellowstone.
I guess we could. Well, there's only one episode.
Okay.
But it's a 2-hour.
Yeah, but let's go out because it's not raining right now.
No, there's a window finally to actually be outside and not get rained on.
All right, see what we just did there? That was the decision of the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
We figured
right
it
there.
Out.
All right. Can we do this? Let's check in with, Andrea, tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Oh, we have so much coming up at the top of the hour. You know, we're going to set another record with all this rain that we had today. That story and more coming up at 7 o'clock from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
Violetta?